Blog Talk Radio.
Brother man, welcome to the Focus Show. This is me, Sean T. Daniels from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm back, the Focus Show. I'm back. And I'm trying to stay focused on what it is that I believe that I've been called to do. And I got friends now. And I got friends on board and everything. That we are back the day before Memorial weekend. I think it's appropriate. It's so many things is going on in our country, so many things going on with us culturally. But I want to tell you that I'm focused, following one course until successful. We have decided through a new movement, through people that I'm engaged with, that I'm in part of. You know, I was a part of it before, but we're a lot more organized, a lot more focused, a lot more together than we were before. I'm just one of four men leadership of Descendants of American Slaves, Inc., and then I also our 501c3 organization, DossieNet. We decided that we are post-awakening. We are astute and evolving elders, descendants of American slave generations. We decided that the premise is to help diagnose to the conclusion that our humanity as a descendants of our humanity is the demographics of people was stolen from us because culturally we were too ignorant to be able to fight or do anything about it. It's not like we had weapons and we had the ability to fight, we would, our culture and people were slaves. So we were brainwashed and deceived to buy into something. So it requires us to become focused to really be able to combat an analogy to address these issues. I think that so many of us, my 67 and older baby boomer generation that come before us, they born in 1961 or 1951. They're older than us. But I'm starting to believe, and I have my, want my sister come on here a little. I'm starting to believe. I'm really starting to believe. I am 57 years old. I'm really convinced that they were too passive. They didn't really understand that they've been captured, because there are some things in the legislation that, how can we still, I mean, babies today are asking these questions. I mean, my grandchildren are asking these questions. Children, the millenniums are asking these questions. How can they still be struggling with the same things that supposedly legislation has put to rest, and many of our children are still facing the same things? You know, racism, people treating us like we less than, talking to us crazy. Police just act like they can't recognize that our men are human. They just want to take us down like we some aliens from outer space or something, you know, just trying to take us down. Something wrong when they don't recognize that our humanity, our humanity matters, okay? So wrong, and I believe, I'm starting to believe that my elders, I'm just those who 67 up, y'all didn't do a good job in putting things to rest, because it's still requiring us who are baby boomers in the middle, that's why I call us born after 1951, all the way up to 1964, those are the baby boomers in the middle. We're still baby boomers. But we are the last of the baby boomers. We are the children of those who are older than us. But the problem is that they are leaving us a mess to deal with our kids and our grandchildren. And, you know, our children are not as gullible and patient as we were. We listen to the excuses. We listen to what they say. The white man this. Look what they done. You know, we listen to the excuses. Well, our children are not that tolerant, okay? They ain't that tolerant, okay? They want to hear all those poor excuses of why things ain't fixed. They want to know why they still dealing with some of the same crap that's supposedly been put to rest. And that's why we are here, as now starting to be a focus demographics of people as the descendants of American slaves. And we're looking to put into new legislation to introduce, to put America first, or as American descendants of slaves. But the first thing I want to talk about, sis, since I can't get my keynote speaker, the Kayada, he just will not pick up. I think it went scared on me, and so I'm going to have to talk about him. You know, he's my mentor, and he already failed and not do one thing that I asked him to do. It's be ready to call in and be on this show. And he ain't even no man, you know, I'm going to listen. Now, that's okay. But guess what? I got someone that I'm very proud of. This is my girl, Queen, that we got to know one another. I'm actually, let me do a pre-introduction to her so she understands. I recognize that she was probably wanting to know, who the hell is this funny spelling Neeshawn T. Daniels guy who's on the Facebook with all his nonsense and everything? I know she had been looking and paying it. It must have been 3-4 years now she'd been, you know, peeping me out and everything. Now I know she's he's crazy. Something wrong with him. And I think, and all she didn't know that all I was doing is taking my time and, you know, trying to win people over, let people, I know I come off a little crazy, but, you know, I paid attention to her too. Okay. I wouldn't, she don't notice, you know, I went on a Facebook page. I went and checked it out. I wanted to see what kind, who is this one? I know she affiliated with the Nation of Islam, and I learned a little bit more. She kind of got she's kind of like the blinders been taken off. She's a little bit more woke about the Nation of Islam. So I just want to let her know that, this not something that I didn't know who who I was talking to. I know exactly who I was trying to have conversation with when the first time you asked me, can I get on your show? And I said, can I get on your show? And I begged to get on the show, and I brought my guys, and we did our first show. But I already knew that I was kind of connected to Miss Queen. And then, not only that, we might be family. Golly. Oh, my God. Come on, Queen. Introduce yourself to the show, to the Focus Show. How you doing, girl?
I am fine, and I am honored to be on the show with you this evening. You know, I already claim you. I already call you Kimpo, so that's just what that is. If we not kin by blood, we kin by spirit, most definitely. But my name is Gidjan Muhammad. A lot of you on Facebook may know me as Sister Queen. I am the owner and operator and president of Nation Building Movement. I am also an awoke member of the Nation of Islam. And that's about it. My background is in psychotherapy. I'm a graduate of Prairie View A&M University. And I currently reside in Texas. And I'm not going to say what town, but in Texas.
Well, you
and
know,
it is
you,
a great honor to be working with you, Michonne.
You know, Miss Queen, you said something that I am actually very proud to hear you say. You say you are a woke Nation of Islam. And we use the word woke as well, but what we're also saying, we woke, we are pre-woke, we post-woke, okay? Post-woke, meaning that, you know, there's people walking around here pre-woke, you know. You got folks walking around here pre-Nation of Islam. You know, they still captured and low. You know, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll let you talk about Nation. I'm going to talk about what I understand people walking around here in a pre-woke condition, okay? And that pre-woke condition, they still captured by the color matrix. They still captured by the European classifying them as a not human and degrading them and constantly letting them know that they less than by the very original Declaration of Independence when America formed in July the 4th, 1776. That was the original indoctrination. Come on, Queen. I want you to really understand. That was the original foundation of the indoctrination of making us conditioned to see ourselves solely based on color. Now, I've been saying this just happened. Now, Queen, listen to me. This just happened. I told someone that was an American European, he said to me, why are you interested in passing this legislation to take color off the table, Michonne? I'm really trying to understand that. And Queen, I said, you know, I'm so glad you asked that question. Thank you for asking that question. Here's the reason why I want to take color off the table and no longer want it to be part of the conversation. Here's the reason why. Because when I can say to you that I am an American descendant or a descendant of American slaves, and I no longer see myself as black, guess what else I also said? I said, I no longer see you as white, and you no longer have no authority over me. Oh, my God. Turned red right there in front of me. Got like, oh, that's what you mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I said, the moment that I stop saying that I'm black and I am an American or a descendant of American slaves, I also am saying that you no longer white to me and no longer have no more authority, don't have no, all that you initially incorporated from the very beginning, no longer have any more authority in my life anymore. That just happened, Queen. That just happened when I had that conversation, and the person acknowledged that, man, had you not broke it down to me like this is a European male that said this to me, said, I now have come to realize when you say about the color cast, Michonne, you're talking about the indoctrination of what the European cultures done from the very beginning. Queen, are we not having conversation?
Absolutely. And you know what? The thing about it is that what I want people to understand about the term black, which it is a term, and I'm like the rest of you. I'm like most of you. I'm in my 50s. That is what we've been taught to say, even in our so-called independence, even in our so-called recognition after the civil rights movement. It was black power. It was black this. It was I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. It was all of these things. But what white supremacy has done with the word black, what we have not recognized is that it has disassociated you from land, from country, from culture,
from humanity.
You are a people, right, but when you are a people that are disconnected from a place, then you become a nomad. When you are a nomad, you are under the control and the rule of anywhere you step foot in, and everybody and anybody except you have the power. So now how do we as descendants of African slaves regain our rightful place? And the first thing we have to know is who we are. Not so much of where we come from, but who we are. We are the
story.
Descendants of African slaves. And not only does that identify a place as far as on the planet, but it also identifies a right to the land that we call America.
Now, Sister Queen, I'm going to be working with you. I noticed that you love that descendants of African slaves, but that's not what we say. But I love, because you see, I've learned to allow you to grab it and understand it at your own time. Okay, see, we're saying American. We are said descendants of American slaves, okay? But we ain't gonna get twisted on that, okay? I love the fact that you understand that the word black is no different than that. You seen the movie Get Out? The word black, every time you say black, is no different than that person that was doing that cup and everything. You in a trance, okay? And you seen the movie Get Out?
But let me offer a quick explanation. Let me say this. In my genealogy, I am the third generation from Africa. So unlike most people who may have to go back hundreds and hundreds of years, my grandfather was a captured slave in 1860. So when I look upon my genealogy, I know that my father's side of the family for me started with him being African and being enslaved.
You know, and I'm glad that, you know, Queen, baby, that's why I love about you. That's, you know, I was explaining to my wife, would you just share that stuff with me? That's what I really love about you, and that's why I'm not caught up when you saying, you know, descendants of African slaves, because what you're saying is that you know from where your roots come from. See, many of us don't have that. I know for a fact, you know, I know for a fact if I were to trace, now that I'm, it looked like I might be in your genealogy and everything, but I know for
right?
a fact. Yeah, now I know for a fact from my roots, my natural root, Floyd, my birth name, okay, that I don't know that goes all the way. The only thing I know that Floyd started right here as slaves, as American slaves. So for those people, there's going to be a two progression. There's going to be those who are going to be able to say.
And then, you know, I got to get used to the language. language.
Yes, you know, we said the Dossi language is something that got to be, you got to grow on you because a lot of people are not used to it and everything. But let me bring this gentleman on that is a good buddy and pal of mine that's always been involved with me. And let me, Miss Queen, yeah, you don't know this gentleman, so let me introduce you to who this individual is, okay? Mr. Peter Hayes, okay, is a gentleman that I befriended him. You know, we became friends really after I got taken by a tremendous amount of people in this community. I got hustled out of basically $75,000 dealing with black folks, okay? And I remember that I actually spoke to him, and we didn't really know one another at the time. I just knew that he was the, you know, president or vice president of the Service for Peace, and he had been doing some things in his community and I also had been around him where he actually had given leadership to the Martin Luther King Service for Peace event. And I also witnessed the thing that was going on and everything where people was trying to overthrow him and everything when he left town and everything because, you know, he's a European American man and they wanted to know how was he in charge of the Martin Luther King Service of Peace. So it was a real awakening. But what I've come to really love about this gentleman is that he's from New York. Okay. You know, you need to know his story. Mm-hmm. He come from the bottom up hood rot of New York. And you really have to know and understand and appreciate Mr. Peter Hayes to see that he has always, as long as I've been knowing him in the little city, he has always worked in our community trying to do good by us, trying to find a way to help us out. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that he will be the first person to call and to show his support for my awakening back to the Focus Show. My brother Peter Hayes, welcome to the Focus Show, man.
Hello, hello, hello. How y'all doing?
It's all good. It's all good. I want to introduce you to Queen. That's my new sister, new sister from another mother that I'm certain that is going to help us do some good on this new endeavor that we're working on here, Peter. So, Peter, you've been listening. What's your take on the idea is that we are no more just woke. We're focused, and we're focused, and you've been hearing me talk about the Descendants of American Slave conversation and everything. Just share with Queen why you think there's some relevance in that conversation.
Well, a couple things. Something I've in my life and my philosophy is, you know, that we are one family under God. So, you know, me studying the history of kind of what we're talking about, white supremacies, did start in Europe, and that's where the idea of color and race came. You know, there's still a lot of people that believe there's different races on the face of the earth, and it's really not true. We're all human beings. We just come from different countries, places of the world, languages. My wife's from Japan. You know, they've been in existence for 4,000 or 5,000 years. China's been in existence for 6,000, obviously Africa, other places. So I think there's a lot of new education that we need. Growing up in America, we did use the term black and white, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, brown and yellow. Supposedly there was 5 races, black, brown, yellow, red, and white. And, of course, they taught that the white race was superior, and so that's where a lot of the justification for a lot of the prejudice came from. But also, Misha, and we've talked about, you know, sadly, you know, when it comes to the African and American slave trade, you know, as Leonard Walker has said, you know, there was a pretty vibrant slave trade, you know, African, Islamic, Arab slave trade for 700 years going on, and then the Portuguese and the Spanish and the British got involved, and then 100 years later the Americans got involved. So, you know, it's a sad reality.
Hey, Peter, Peter, you know, a lot of people, and Queen, would you agree, a lot of people don't realize what that he just broke down there, all the people that actually was involved with the movement and all those people who actually benefited from the industrialization of the Dark Continent. A lot of people don't know the magnitude of how that all came about. Would you agree with that, Queen?
Oh, absolutely. I think our knowledge over the years has been tainted, if not completely extracted. And we never knew. Some of us never knew, and some of us still don't know the business aspect of slavery, who benefited from slavery, who contributed to slavery. What we are mostly connected to is the disenfranchisement and the brutality of slavery, as well as the mental anguish of slavery. And so there are a lot of factors to it. There are a lot of African factors to it that some of us won't even allow ourselves to admit that Africa had a great part in the role of slavery here in America and throughout the world. And I think that through the process of trying to heal or trying to live life, I'm not going to say heal, to live life, because when something takes a hold of you and when you hold on to anger and when you hold on to the brutality of history versus the beauty of history, then it becomes a burden. And that burden has transgressed throughout many, many generations. And we like to say, the white man, we love to say the white man, the white man, the white man, but there were so many others, and a lot of others look like us that were involved in the process.
Peter, you see why I like you. This is why I love Miss Queen. I actually already knew she was going to say that, okay, because I've heard you on other shows, Miss Queen. You didn't know that. I've listened to you on other shows that you actually got into a big taboo with somebody who wanted to make it seem like it was just the double the white man. And I remember you got into big to-do that you kind of cleared that up and said, oh, no, you can't do that. Peter, this is why it's so important. That fostering and that fostering that comes from a masculine development of a man and that nurturing that comes from the natural development of a woman. This is why I'm excited about this new focus here, Queen, because you're going to bring that soft, nurturing truth.
I don't know about how soft it'll be.
No.
It's a strong femininity.
I know. I don't mean soft, because I know you ain't gonna come that soft. But what I mean is, you're gonna bring that nurturing truth, okay? That only a woman can speak it. See, we men can speak it all day long.
I know what you mean by.
But they don't hear us sometimes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when they hear, when they hear what you just said, speaking to Peter, would you agree hearing that from a woman's voice to say what she just said, doesn't that sound a lot different when you're hearing it from a male?
Yeah, I think so, and I appreciate her comments, because I found out there's so few people that really want to take a comprehensive look at it like Queen was talking about. And it's a lot of it for political and ideological reasons, because if you want to promote hatred and resentment and keep that fire going, that's very easy, especially when we talk about history of slavery or racial relations in America on many sides. So that's the easiest thing to do, is to get into the blame game. But, when you really trace it, and and the great thing with Google, you can look this up. What got me interested was a couple, we mentioned Reverend Bevel, a close associate, Dr. King, brought that knowledge to me, and, but even Googling the African countries, there's been historically there's been three countries in the world that have apologized for slavery, and they've all been African countries. Their role in slavery, as Queen was saying. Unfortunately, Britain, France, or America has not apologized.
Peter, let's take this, you know, I like to always, you know, I call it, you know, the IV, you know, sometimes, you know, we call it intravenous IV, you know, I work in the medical field when you intravenously put an IV in. Sometimes we may be having listeners that may not have caught what you just said there. So we got to sometimes slow that up in small drips, okay, and make sure we make sure everybody really grasps what was just said there, okay, because what you just said, okay, is very relevant to, very important to the what's happening right now with our demographics of millennials today. See, Ms. Queen, our children today, they ain't interested in hearing our damn excuses, okay? They about why this, that, and other, and why they still struggling with the issues that supposedly been through legislation and everything, because they can Google, they can find out, they have access to information so much quicker than when you and I, when all three of us, all three of us right now on this line are in our 50s and all that. We didn't have, when we were first coming, we didn't have the access of information, the ability to check facts. Our parents, okay? We just took it for what it was. You know, it is what it is.
Exactly.
Your mom, dad
yeah.
said it. Hey, it must have been, it must be the truth. Must be the gospel, okay? You know? But today's children, today's millennials, oh, hell to the no, okay? They ain't hearing that because they can check fact that nonsense. And they start learning and start seeing it. So one of the things that we're starting to realize, and I really love that now that my other partner, Marcus, is, I'm getting ready to bring him on the line, on the air. He just chimed in. He just came in because the whole reason that Dossie and being influenced through Shelton about America's Little Black Book is that it really helped me to understand when in America's Little Black Book, when he said the parent culture has misled us, parent culture. I had never seen or knew the term parent culture. I never looked at it that way until I saw it in Norris' book, America's Little Black Book, when he specifically talked about that we, the children, created and formed here on American soil, were in beholding to the parent culture that seemed to have deceived us and misled us, but it seemed to be a continuing, ongoing thing that's constantly happening. So, you know, we have to wonder, how do we get there? Marcus just dropped off. Yeah, they're about to bring him on. Wouldn't you agree that our children have access to information a whole lot quicker than, whole much faster than we have right now, Ms.
Absolutely.
Were you talking to me? Oh,
yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
I thought you were talking to him. Yeah, you know, it's one thing. How can I put this? They have so much information.
Right.
Not only the access, but they got so much information, and then they got so much that they have to decipher. And unlike the children today, where they can Google and get their information, some of us are still keeping the culture of our native ancestry, which is folklore. And so not only accessing much information, but deciphering what is truth. Because even though we need to remove the desire for black supremacy, which that's what that is, when you start to believe and think that you are superior over another race. So now, even though it's not necessarily reverse racism or that we want to do to white people what we think was done to us, but we have to also not negate the fact that slavery in itself has caused a lot of damage. And in that damage, how that information is perceived has a tremendous effect on the youth today. You have some people who think that slavery was mediocre. It was a mediocre time. You have some people who are holding on to it for dear life and holding grudges on for dear life and forgetting the fact that when we do have access to information, we also need to do checks and balances to make sure that the history of it all is correct. And also the comprehension level, because if you got a parent who is in the Black Panther era or who grew up in the Civil Rights era, then that child may access some information that is absolutely correct, but the parent is teaching or debriefing from an emotional standpoint. So we have to be at a point. We have to be at a point where we're able to teach absolute truth, but we cannot make people accept absolute truth. With that being the problem, know with the surety that it will take a generation that is destined to learn and grow and develop from truth, versus learning to grow and develop from emotion.
Hey, now, Ms. Queen, this is the reason why I am really, really, really so excited. Again, you just confirm again and again by your voice and your tone that nurturing part, that awake part that we need as men moving forward and that we're going to need as moving is moving. Now, my lines are blowing up now. I got a whole lot of people on the lines and everything. And right now, I got a guest that's coming. I do have a guest that's I want to bring to be Dr. Curlin. But before I bring Dr. Curlin, I got to make sure I set the tone for Dr. Curlin before I bring him on. And I want Marcus, you called in a little earlier and everything, but I lost you and everything. But I got this 8199. Who's that?
Jazzport Mike B.
What up, Mike B? I thought that was you. Before anybody, I just want Mike B. Miss Queen, you don't know this, brother. This is a poet. Mike B, can you just pop a poet, sudden poetry that's relevant to what we're talking about? All right, can you drop something on us right now? Relevant to what we're talking about?
Yeah, man. You know, the thing I would like to tell, I'm glad that I came into the line and I didn't know who she was, but instead of telling me her name, I'm glad you used Queen, because you can hear the voice and the vibrance of our heritage through certain queens that speak. And, you know, and it's like the vibrations cause you to listen. So I thank you so very much, Queen, for what you had to say. And, you know, to that, you know, no problem. I mean, I'm thanking you because, you know, we need more female role models in that way, you know. And to swing off what you all were talking about, man, you know, real quick, you know, how much do we need to turn us around and tell our kids, hey, we struggled for you. You've got a platform where you take it from there. You know, it's like, I mean, for instance, does anyone agree with me to tell a black kid the sky's the limit for them?
Totally.
Absolutely.
No, check this out. That is culturally and worldly incorrect. That is something that was taught to our black kids by white people. The sky's not the limit for young black kids. Check this out. There happens to be footprints on the moon. So why am I going to tell my two daughters the sky's the limit? I'm saying you don't have no limit. You're atmospheric. You're universal. You're beyond that.
I can see from that point, and I think that's what that represents in truth.
Hey, Queen, let him be. He's about to drop something on us. Go ahead.
But we got to ask ourselves, how have we failed our kids? See, because today I need not much what needs to be changed in the world, moreover, what needs to be changed in me by changing me one defect of character at a time. Each day I change the world. But anyway, I'm going to give you this poem. I did a poem for the city earlier, but I'm going to do a different one right now. Can I ask y'all a question?
Yes.
Can
yes,
I ask
sir.
You a question? Now,
yes,
wouldn't it be dumb? Wouldn't it be dumb? Wouldn't it be dumb? Wouldn't it be dumb? Wouldn't it be like real insane for a black man to stand in between the church pew in 2018 and sing, we shall overcome, and not realize in a way we done overcame? Don't get me wrong, we've come a long ways and we still got a ways to go. But I'm sure the spirit of your forefathers and foremothers would tell you so, like Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, even Kunta Kinte would say they remember the day they walked away and black slaves hanging with bending knees from oak trees, like what? Strange fruit. And we got the nerve to complain in our $350 go to church meeting suits. My country, tears of thee. Man, that song's not written for my baby girls and me. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven rings. Now, that's our motto. That's what I'm teaching my two baby girls in days they grow. Because when you lead a child down the road of life, you should lead that child with God's speed. Don't you dare in that child's mind plant a negative seed. One day a child's going to have a mouth to feed. Teach that child to stand proud and to rise to any occasion. Don't you dare in that child's mind plant self-induced mental suffocation. If you ask me, if you don't believe me, ask the spirit of your forefathers and foremothers like Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, even Kunta Kinte would say they remember the day they walked along the way and saw black slaves hanging with bending knees from oak trees like what? Strange fruit. And we got the nerve to complain in our $350 go to church meeting suits. Do we have struggles in this time and age? Oh, yeah, I remember 20 years ago, Mike B sat on a detox bench after all Satan's demons had spent me. But yet here I am on this program, I'm slamming. If they ask you why I came, if they ask you why I came, if they ask you why I came, you just tell them Jesus.
Hey, Mike, love you, brother.
Okay, I'm snapping my fingers over here. Yay!
Hey, listen. Hey, this is only an hour show, so I got a lot to gotta get in. So I want to go ahead, Mike. Thank you for blessing us with that tone, brother. I was hoping that you're gonna do it. You came in.
Absolutely.
Timing. Your timing was impeccable. So I want to go to Leonard. Leonard, go ahead, man. Drop. Yeah, I know you got some time. Then Marcus, you come on, and then I'm gonna bring Dr. Curlin. That I want to have him close out a little bit before we close out this show. This is only an hour show. We tightening this show. So we can get as much in tight, and so the next show is going to be where people are going to be able to listen to what we said here, and then the next live show. So we're going to do every other show is a live show, the next show you listen to, so we can be able to get some knowledge in here, pass us up. Go ahead, Leonard.
Greetings, brother. I just would like to say it is good to have the Focus Show back on track again. Hopefully we can get more listeners so we can get more people involved in this movement. Make no mistake about it, this is a movement. We have to organize and we have to mobilize, all right, plain and simple, if we want to change the things that we need to do in our lives. And as my brother JC would say, to add to that organization and mobilization, we have to actualize our reality. Meaning that whatever we think we want, whatever we think we have, whatever what direction we want to go in, we have to, that's the direction, and we have to make a path toward that direction. Like I said, it's just good to be back on the Focus Show. you know, it's been a while. I'm glad that we decided to come back and do this format again. So I'm just going to leave it there because I'm enjoying the conversation that's going on between our newest member, Sister Queen, Brother Michonne. Peter, how you doing? It's good to talk to you.
Wonderful, Leonard. Wonderful.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and get Marcus. Going to get Marcus in here, and then we're going to bring Dr. Curlin in here because I'm going to use him as the foundation of what we're trying to lead to long term. Marcus, go ahead and say something, man.
Well, I hadn't planned on saying anything, so what I'm going to do is yield the balance of my time to Dr. Curlin.
Oh, Lord. So you know You know Dr. Curling gonna like that, because, you know, Dr. Curling.
I know it. That's exactly right. He'll be talking when the mic shuts off.
Hey, so before you say anything, let me introduce you. So I want everybody to understand. This is Dr. Curlin. I met this gentleman as an accident, and then all of a sudden, he blessed me by letting me know that he actually tried to meet Dr. Martin Luther King, to try to let Dr. Martin Luther King know way back then that the civil rights movement, Queen, you're going to like this. This is why I'm glad he came, because Queen, I really want you to hear this gentleman, because he was, you know, Jewish, the doctor, philosopher, educator, but when he told me that the civil rights movement, that he actually tried to meet with Dr. King to try to, he said some folks blocked him because they wouldn't want to hear. But he actually was trying to say that we needed to do something a little different. And then when he heard about our movement, talking about the descendants of American slaves, he actually have said, and a lot of people didn't want to hear, that the descendants of American slaves is the culture people to bring change in America. But we got to do some things. First things we got to do is, like I tell Dr. Curlin, we got to get our identity right first. You know, identity. We ain't going to put that ahead of nothing else. I got to get our identity right first. The next thing we have to do is then change the system. And that's where Dr. Curlin is. Dr. Curlin, you don't have 10 minutes now, all right? You only got 5 minutes, okay? 5 minutes, okay, to briefly tell, okay, I don't want you to try to do it all in one sitting here, but explain and tell a little bit who you are and a little about, not the whole story, about why we must talk about changing the system, and the descendants of American slaves are the people to get it done. Dr. Carolyn, go ahead.
Okay, Ms. Sean, I really appreciate your introduction. Try to wrap up in 5 minutes what I normally take 4 hours to talk about.
Okay, well, we all know this.
Anyhow, you know, I was listening to Ms. Queen. I just tuned in and I heard her say, "We gotta follow the truth and avoid emotion if we're going to change the system." You're right. The system is the problem, and I'm glad you used the term descendants of American slaves, because I think American slavery was worse than any slavery anywhere in the world. American slavery, the slave was not a full person. They didn't treat him as a person. So, and that's still embedded the racist system we have. So we have to get to the point we recognize first that there's really only one race. That's number one. And that's the human race. But anyhow, you mentioned I did meet with Dr. King. I was a friend of Medgar Evers. We worked very closely at the time I was in the Civil Rights Commission, looking at civil rights issues for the Commission of Civil Rights. And Medgar and I were very close. And when he was killed, I was on a plane. Dr. King was on the same plane. I was coming from Washington, and, of course, he was coming from Atlanta. And we did talk briefly, but I have to say this. I did not have solution for changing the system at that time. That's very important. It was later that I learned of ideas, so these aren't even my ideas. And the one thing you know is the truth, only the truth in your own mind. When I heard a new system that would do away with racism, and I'll tell you, it's an economic system that's the problem, where everybody has to have equal opportunity to be an owner. Our slogan at the Center for Economic and Social Justice, which we've been in operation since 74, but actually I've been working at this since I first heard of it in 65, and that is that The system is owned by a tiny fraction of people. They want to keep it that way. But we've developed in, because you're giving me 5 minutes, I would like everyone to go to a website. It's www.cesj.org. And there, just watch the slideshow at the top. 40 seconds, that's all it takes. And you'll get the whole picture in 40 seconds. So, and then if you want more, if you want books, you want articles, you want videos, it's all there on the homepage. But I'm saying, before you do, take 40 seconds, you'll get the whole picture. I'll tell you, it starts with a slogan, and that is, own or be owned. Own.
And that is powerful. Hey, quick, hey, you know what? And Dr. Curlett, I'm going to leave because we got 5 minutes. And one of the things that I did with my show when we did is that I want to give each one of you that's on this line, okay, a minute to breathe. And I want, Queen, you're going to be the last to say. You the last. So I want to, Dr. Curlett,
okay.
You start.
Okay.
This is one of the things that was unique about my show, The Focus Show. We always close out giving each person who's on the line, give just a brief, not the whole, of what you got out of this. Dr. Curlett, quickly, your start. And I'm going to go to each person and get you to say something and put your mic on hold. Dr. Curlett, you start. Quickly.
I think I said all I have. I'd like to hear other people. But most important, I'd like them to visit the website at CESJ.org, the Center for Economic and Social Justice. That's the way we can build ownership.
All right. Go ahead. Marcus, you go ahead. You say something.
I wasn't here for the whole thing, but basically I believe low self-esteem is the parent of the welfare mentality.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. Peter, go ahead. Say something.
Yeah, well, I'm excited that the Focus Show is back on the air, and that we can be discussing these very deep issues, the future of American humanity. And I think... My thought is, if we think about it from a cosmic level, which is this physical earth, but also the spiritual plane, and we really take a big picture so that when we come up with plans and strategy benefits all of mankind instead of separating people, then you know you're dealing with universal truth rather than ethnic or territorial truth that many times people feel is right for them, but if it's not right for other people, even Dr. King and Jesus taught, and Gandhi and others, that if you really care about your opposition as much as yourself, you know you're doing what's right. So I think that's important as we go forward.
Good start. All right, Mike B, go ahead.
Hey, man, I would just like to leave with a little wisdom, man. Life is not measured by the amount of breaths you take. Moreover, it's measured by the moments that take your breath away.
Glory.
Beautiful.
Leonard, go ahead.
Just like to say that there's a movement out there, a woke movement. Everybody is woke. Everybody's staying woke. Woke this, woke that. Well, what we have to do is we have to be more than woke. We have to be folk. And I'm gonna leave it like that.
And Queen, you get the closes out. Because you're the only woman, and you've been the voice of nurturing, and you get to close us out. This is the uniqueness of the Focus Show. I used to do this. This is what brought us there. If you go to listen to all the Focus Shows, and you can, this is the uniqueness. We used to always close out with somebody giving a thought, the last thoughts and everything, because it was powerful what you get. So you get to close us out in this last few minutes here. What you think and what you've gotten from this, Ms. Queen? And thank you for being my host.
Okay. I'm glad to see the diversity. I'm happy to see the unison and the thinking of one accord. And if I had to leave any pearls of wisdom behind, I would like to say that you can never see the road to your future looking back over your shoulder at your past. That's it.
Well, then, we still got some moments to burn and everything, so I guess I get to close out and say, listen up.
Yes.
The Focus Show is here to stay. We're not going nowhere. We're not going nowhere. As my partner has already said,
right.
We're more than woke. We're focused. And we're following one course until successful to complete what we have not been able to complete. The millennials don't want to hear our excuses. They don't want to hear why we still struggling with the things. They want to know our solutions. And I think Dr. Curlin is helping us come with some solutions on how we need to change the system. Did you like that, Ms. Queen? He says, what did he say? Own or be owned. And you have not heard
right.
that before?
That's right.
Own or be owned.
I love
and see,
that.
Yeah, that's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. And so please,
yes.
If you've not visited that website, it's www.CESJ, Center of Economic Social Justice, .org. It's a powerful website. It got a lot of beautiful, good information. I'm telling you, I am so excited about the Focus Show. I think that we got something here. You know, I don't know. It looks like something is going to be more powerful than I can really understand. Leonard, you know, we got a few minutes. You know, I can bring a couple of y'all back on because I got 4 minutes and I can't do. I can talk, but I don't rattle on too long. Come on, Leonard, you got to say something to me.
All righty. I want everybody to grab pencil and paper or maybe a text or whatever you got to do, and take down this website. It is called dasnetwork.org. That is dasnetwork.org. That is the portal to becoming a part of what it is we're trying to do. Okay? Like I said, and what is it that we're trying to do? It depends. We want to take control of our community, and we want to live better. We want to live life more abundantly. All right, for everybody, not just, you know, a few people, but for everybody. Everybody in America deserves happiness. Everybody in America deserves prosperity. Okay, everybody in America deserves the American dream. Everybody, okay? So that's one of the things that we want to try to do is focus on that, and we're going to keep it simple in the beginning. So everybody get that website, dasnetwork.org. There will be more to come along with that. And, hey, I'm giving it back to you, Michonne.
Well, listen up. We are doing very good. I'm not used to timing it down like this, but I'm actually realizing that I got to get more focused. You know what we said? Focus. We're going to stay focused and making sure we stay on point here. Dr. Curlin, you still there? You want to add just a little bit more? I know you could take up the rest of the time, but you want to add a little something else?
Right. Well, I heard Marcus say something that I agreed on, and that is that the welfare system is not the solution. I used to think it was. Before I heard of these ideas, what's called not just the Homestead Act, which of course didn't even provide what the 90 acres and a mule, but we call it a capital Homestead Act, and that's an unlimited frontier. And if you change the money system, and we'll show you how on that website, what has to be changed is called the Capital Homestead Act, and it will end wage slavery, welfare slavery, charity slavery, and consumer debt slavery. But anyway, slavery, it's got to be part of the past, and I could go into more detail, but I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk to all of you.
All right. And you know what? Our time is coming to an end. I just want to say that love is calling us, okay? And it's so beautiful, and I appreciate each and every one of you, and this is the end of the Focus Show. Until next time, we'll be live in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, Miss Queen, I love you, girl, and we're going to make beautiful things.
Love
we're
going to
make some
more.
Beautiful things happen. We're going to make some beautiful things happen.
Absolutely.
Love is calling us. Love is calling us. Y'all take care. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
When you want this promise laid to rest, you never open your heart to anyone else.